Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not living in memory lane. We are going forward.
It's all about the next.
It is.
We're only getting started, Martha.
That's right. Running a successful business takes a lot. Lots of concentration, lots of hard work, lots of sleepless nights. And lots of friends. You need great ideas. You need dedication. You need enthusiasm. And a team you really trust. One person who has been on my team from the early days is Susan Magrino. Susan and I began working together in the early 80s to promote my books. In 1992, Susan started her own public relations agency, which is now known as Magrino PR, 30 years later. The agency is considered one of the top PR firms in the country. Susan has even been called the queen of public relations. Susan is vibrant. She is organized. She is thorough. She's well-informed. She's inquisitive. And on top of it all, she is lots of fun and a very good friend. It's a pleasure to welcome the woman I call my business partner, travel companion, and most importantly, my dear friend, to my podcast. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Martha.
And we rarely sit down in a formal attitude like this to talk about you, because you are always representing me, and I'm always feeling, oh, wow, Susan's always promoting me, she's doing this, she's doing that, and now I get a chance to turn the tables and promote you, who I admire greatly for your business acumen, for your professionalism, for your authenticity, and nobody can talk as fast and as well and has such a good memory as Susan Magrino. You were very young when you started your career, Susan. Where do you think that drive to start your own business came at such an early age?
Well, I think that I grew up always knowing that I wanted to work. I mean, there was just no question about it. And I think that's what has driven me for my entire career. I was also very fortunate to start at a time in New York City where, I mean, it's cliche, but the world was truly your oyster. And I also think at that point in your life, I mean, backing up a moment, when I arrived in New York in the 1980s, it was a terrific time. And, you know, Wall Street was raging, you know, formality was in. People would wear, you know, ball gowns to Park Avenue dinner parties. Your entertaining book, which was published in 1982, really defined a lot of that kind of entertaining, that along with Glorious Food, those were the two books that I think really defined what New York was about, certainly in food and entertaining at that time. And I also think that, you know, when you went to work then, there was just no question about where you were going. I mean, and it was only going to be up. It was never, well, I'll do this for a little while and maybe I'll do that. I mean, that never crossed my mind.
Well, you grew up in Orange, New Jersey.
West Orange, New Jersey.
I grew up in Nutley, New Jersey. So we're sort of like relatives that way. But then you went away to college. You went to Skidmore College up in New York
Saratoga
State,
Springs.
Saratoga. So what was your first job right out of college?
My first job right out of college was at Tiffany & Company. I was in the special projects department up on one of those top floors there. And I didn't have any sales experience. What I truly wanted to do was go and work for a magazine. And even though I was an English major at that moment, I just could not get a job at a magazine. So I read the New York Times classifieds, as we all did, and I saw an ad for Tiffany & Company. And I remember I said to my father, you know, what do you think of that? And he said, you can't go wrong at Tiffany. So off I went to Tiffany & Company, and those were in the days when it was still owned by Walter Hoving and run by him. And I was in this department that made the Super Bowl and corporate gifts. And it was very interesting to see silver, which I had always loved, and how those types of things were made. I worked there probably for about, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe under a year. They used to have these great sample sales. I remember, I still have an obelisk and some wonderful Elsa Peretti yellow ceramic bowls, which I treasure to this day. And I met someone who knew someone in book publishing. And that's really when my career truly began.
Because in college, you studied history and you like to read.
Yes.
It's been obvious throughout your career and your work with me that reading is very, very important, which I think was engendered. Was that in your family? Were you all readers?
I think my parents, absolutely. They were intellectuals. They met at Oxford in a summer program. My mother has a PhD, Henry James. She's a Henry James scholar. My father was an attorney. So I think that the written word, we always had a summer reading list. We always had a job chart. You know, everybody... You know, again, Martha, I think we share that commonality in the way we were raised. And I don't think people remember. Everybody was raised in a very, very similar fashion for a very long time.
We were raised to realize the value of good work and of success and of monetary success also. We worked for money and we worked for a career. And nowadays, it's just like a little more haphazard than that, I think. You were in publishing. So what did you do? Which company?
I began at Crown Publishing, and my boss was Nancy Cahan. And at that time, Crown had the best publicity department in book publishing. We published coffee table books, lifestyle books, Judith Krantz's books, Jean Owl's books. And then there was our wonderful imprint, Clarkson Potter, where your books were published. That's a very, very famous.
And are still published.
Correct, and are still published.
That is 40 years later.
Yes.
That they're still being published by Clarkson Potter, which is quite extraordinary. How would you describe the business environment at that time in terms of publishing?
Oh, it was lively. It was exciting. It was the making of bestsellers. It was the making of, you know, John Grisham and Deepak Chopra and, you know, The Silver Palette, Martha Stewart, Lee Bailey, Dominic Dunn. It was just wonderful. And I think what was so terrific for me in the environment at Crown was they believed in publicity and we believed in book tours. I mean, we've had so many wonderful trips, Martha, and I did with others where, you know, you'd go out for 2 weeks I think the only people that do that now are probably, you know, rock and roll bands. But in those days, we went into every city. We had a book signing. We did all of the media. We had amazing food.
And there were people in each city that dealt with the visiting authors.
Yes.
And their publicists. And they took such good care of us. Yes. I mean, it was really a real fantastic time.
It really
and
was.
And every store wanted you. And so if I wrote a book about entertaining, they would want me at Bloomingdale's, they'd want me at Saks, they'd want me at Bergdorf Goodman, they'd want me everywhere.
Well, I think what you just said is the definition of why you really began in lifestyle. Because before that, people were really just going to bookstores, which was fine. But then I remember B. Altman, you know, I remember Bloomingdale's, I remember all of these wonderful stores. And then it became Sur La Table and, you know, it was cooking stores, it was gardening stores, it was fashion. When I think of all the book signings that you've done, and then, you know, Home Depot, and very, very interesting to look back and think about that now.
Well, we did begin working in 1983. So that is almost 40 years ago, even though we did meet, I think, a little bit before that, because did you come to the first entertaining party?
I did not. I started on quick cook menus, and I gave you a very famous photo album, which we have here, where I recounted the history and meeting you and all of the wonderful early parts of the relationship in terms of press clippings.
But you really got to know your clients. You really,
yes.
You really paid attention to what we were doing on these trips. We ate every meal together. We drove in the same car together. We talked about what we were going to wear together. And it was really kind of fun. I mean, it was like traveling with traveling with you was like traveling with my little sister. And yet we got a lot done, and you were so organized from day one. You had your list of what had to be accomplished, and you made sure you accomplished it. And that work ethic still exists. I mean, you are incredibly organized. And I think your staff, how big is your staff now? Susan started her own business in which year?
1992.
With how many people?
It really was me in the beginning. And then Alan, my sister, who's the president of the agency, was still working at her other job, but, you know, starting to help a bit, and then obviously became full time. But I remember those early days, Martha. You named the agency. I said, what should I call it? You said, use your name. You took me to meet with investors. We sat in Mort Zuckerman's office. The best thing that you have done for me and for everybody around you is encouragement.
You came and you started here and you went up there.
Yes.
If you were talented and if you showed real interest. And so many young people showed real interest. And I like the like-mindedness of a group of people working together that really care about promotion. They care about real product. They care about all of that. And you saw that right away. You really did. And not just in books, but you started to represent me. As soon as you started your own company,
yes,
you started to represent everything I did, which I thought was I one of your very first
yes,
clients?
You yes, you are client 1A to this day, our longest client.
And who else? Who else have you represented over the years?
Well, the first clients of the Susan Macrino agency, Martha Stewart, Crown Publishing, and I always maintained a very, very good relationship with them and got to continue working with writers such as Dominic Dunn, Lee Bailey, Mark Lehner, Tammy Janowitz for many, many years. Frederick Fekai, who you introduced me to when he was at...
Yes.
Yes.
And you did so much good work with him.
Wonderful good work
and
with
we're
him.
Still all friends.
Yes.
What about Chris Blackwell?
Chris Blackwell.
Island
Records, where he was beginning to get into the hotel business in Miami Beach as well as in Jamaica, his home country. And I learned so much about hospitality. It is our largest division today. And to think back that it really began on Island Outpost and a hotel on Miami Beach, the Marlin, which we quickly got on the cover of Condé Nast Traveler. So that was really
important.
And
remember, we used to stay there at
yes,
that hotel.
We stayed
we
there.
We loved that hotel.
That was South Beach right in the beginning, which was great to be part of that. Harper's Bazaar.
I think what you did early on was you realized that your friends could be your clients, Your clients could also introduce you to other clients really rapidly. Those other clients embraced the work you did and introduced you to other aspects of their companies even. I mean, you grew your business really rapidly, I think. Is it people that attract you, or is it the product? Is it you do beverages now, you do travel, you do publishing, you do fashion. You've done an awful lot of different categories.
I think those are my interests. And I think really our client roster grew out of, you know, much of it had to do, I had a liberal arts education and then getting into book publishing where we publish things, you know, from cooking to novels to books on everything. And I think that developed an expertise. But I love the people. I'm interested in everything. You know, if I go to the supermarket, it's interesting to go in and get things that you might not have come in for, or a department store or whatever it is, and to think about that. So I think that curiosity is what has really, really shaped it. I've been very fortunate to have wonderful clients and friends and people who have introduced me and people who've trusted us and allowed us to go into different aspects of their business. And you know, I might add it, you don't do it alone. You know, as the business grew over the years, I've had amazing people that we have worked with, and certainly my sister, Alan Magrino, and others that I remain friendly with until this day. And we've also spawned other agencies, people who have gone out and started their own practices. So I'm very proud of that. I think I remember a couple of years ago, you know, when Google hired somebody away from us, I took that as a great compliment. And I feel that that's even more gratifying to me now, to watch people go off and do things, as gratifying as it is to watch what our clients can do.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Susan, let's get into some of your very fabulous hobbies. Because Susan, did you start collecting stuff or fashion first? Which was your first?
Well, I think that, you know, all of the tag sailing and things like that really did start with you. You know, the Fire King and things like that. I've always loved clothing. My mother is always dressed. I remember having her original Calvin Klein's, and, you know, I would dress up in high school, not you know, too much. But then when I came to New York, remember, it was the 1980s. I remember being on a book tour with you with a red suit with shoulder pads and gold buttons and a belt and a skirt. So I always really, really enjoyed clothing. And I think because I was single for a long time and I was always working and dressed up, I really developed an interest and had the time to go shopping. So I think, I was looking at my closet the other day. You know, I've been fortunate because I bought at a very good time. I've kept everything. I really enjoy it. I really believe in being dressed up. I know things have become much more casual, but I have fun with it. And
you can watch Susan on a regular basis on her Instagram emerging from the door. Beautiful photographs of Susan with identifiable clothing, everything from the shoes to the bags to the jewelry to the dress to the pants, everything identified on the Instagram picture. And you've sort of built a really interesting following on that, because people don't do that normally. And it's really very, very interesting. So, and that you remember everything too. Do you have everything cataloged?
I try to have clothing in the sections of designer. I really do think by designer. The jewelry, I have a drawer of, you know, the gold costume necklaces. I have rings, you know, I mean, but it's cataloged for me in my mind. I think the hard thing is when you move around and you really have to keep track of things. But I, you know, what I'm noticing is people love going out. Oh boy, do they love those pictures. They love black tie. One of my favorite occasions as well. And I do have a lot of that. The going to work outfits, as long as they're colorful, they really like them. The more muted tones, unless it's lighter colors. But it's so interesting to see what people gravitate towards. And they really like the pictures even more than the text. And I do remember where everything came from. Every now and then I find something and I'm like, where did I get that? That's unusual for me, because I really do know it. And I, you know, it's the
Proust
Madeleine.
And Susan has haunts here and there and everywhere.
Yes.
And she sometimes shares them and not all the time.
Oh, I will tell you, I'm hoping there are some estate sales when I leave here that I can find.
So fashion is one thing. Mm-hmm. Handbags is another thing. You have wonderful, wonderful
pocketbooks.
Yes, pocketbooks. You also, what impresses me too, is your office. I haven't really mentioned that to you very much, but the last time I was at your office, it was really a pleasant experience, because you have consistently upgraded your office to make it a more pleasant workplace for your employees. And you have long banquettes in that long hallway where people sit with a table in front of them, or they can just sit there and be casual, not at a desk. You have lots of artwork everywhere. And Susan has collected vintage photographs, beautiful little vintage paintings. You're not collecting Rothko's, but you're collecting period art that's so interesting that really shows your collecting ability.
Thank you. I really enjoy that. And it's very nice to have a place to put all of these things. The kitchen has some wonderful, large, large, floral, colorful portraits that are all out of Fairfield County in the 70s, where somebody was probably picking up a paintbrush for the first time, that I got at our St. Mark's Church in New Canaan at their fabulous May Fair. I have lots and lots of Rodman Pell, who is a painter. He was part of the Pell family from Rhode Island. And Pell's Fish Market in Greenport. And he does lots and lots of sort of primitive kind of Grandma Moses-like landscapes. Some of them are in the snow. Some of them remind me of Philip Guston as well. I have lots of photographs of the Bert Stern of, Brigitte Bardot and Catherine Deneuve. And
now, do you buy those at auction or do you buy those online? Where do you
most of my purchases are really, I've seen them myself, or I met somebody that had worked with Bert Stern, so I bought quite a few pieces from her. But the other pieces, I just found two fabulous Vassarellis at an estate sale in Long Island last summer.
Are they original paintings?
Well, they're Vassarelli prints, so they're part of a series. And then, I have to like it and connect with it. You've been to my home in Long Island, which is entirely paintings from the Peconic Bay painters. And then I found a whole lot of paintings that my mother had done when my parents bought our house in Orient in the 60s. So you saw those when you visited us this summer.
And what makes me really happy about Susan is that she's also not only collecting fashion and art and vintage, but she's also becoming a gardener. And I get very excited when you call me up to ask me about a specific kind of lily that you should plant or a hydrangea. And so you haven't stopped really growing your interests at all. And that's a very admirable trait too, especially during COVID when so many people sort of just sat back and didn't do too much. You kept going and building the brands that you represent. I wanted to talk a little bit about the brands that you have really had a huge impact on. Other than Martha Stewart, you've also developed and helped build the Chateau d'Éclat and Whispering Angel Rosé. I mean, it's so fantastic. Whispering Angel was a little known brand. It is now the mega brand in rosé.
Absolutely. And I think that has so much to do, again, with the founder, Sasha Lachine. And I was introduced to him. I had met Paul Chevalier at a James Beard event, which was also a client of ours. And, then I met Sasha, and he was so much fun and so interested. And I think what was wonderful about him, he's French, but he was raised in New York in the 1980s. So he understood the American market, which is really, really where the growth was for that brand and continues to be, but also globally. And I think that makes a big, big difference. What I love about my business is working with people that are a lot of fun. And I think that's what people need to remember. I mean, you can run a business, you can also have fun. When we launched the Michelin Guide, I mean, that was an amazing experience.
Oh, it was. I remember.
In New York? I mean, it was just huge. And the expert of it and the secrecy of it and the announcement, Alain Ducasse and Gordon Ramsay and working with Liz Tilberis back when Harper's Bazaar was relaunched was just so much fun and so interesting about fashion and meeting so many interesting people and Frederick through beauty and Laura Mercier and, hotels and...
you represent the Fontainebleau in
Miami Beach.
A huge hotel. You have really, really helped that brand grow and grow over the years. And you're so diligent at it. Susan does not go to Miami unless she stays at the Fontainebleau, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're working now with Omni, the brand of Omni, and many, many of their other locations, as well as restaurants. We've also got a brand called Main Street Hospitality, which includes the Red Lion Inn in Massachusetts.
Ah,
and then they have...
one of my old hangouts when
yes,
I had my little house in
Stockford,
Middlefield.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's great. And I think that's also what's interesting about our agency is that we have the ability to do large-scale brands and projects as well, and clients, as well as some of the smaller ones. And I think that's, we love Scout Bags, a brand that is based in Washington, D.C., that we're having lots of fun with and starting to get into some more customization there. The Kips Bay Showhouses, which were in New York for many years and have expanded to Palm Beach as well as Dallas.
Oh, and also some very, very well-known and very important charities that you work on. What
Absolutely.
Are those?
The New York Public Library, yes. which has a Library Alliance, Alzheimer's, Literacy Partners.
And you've been such a good advocate for Literacy Partners. Yes. I've gone to lots of the readings where they bring in students in their teens who learned how to read as a result of the good work that Literacy Partners does. But all that work is really great, Susan, and I'm very proud that you do that work.
And I'm also on the advisory board of Philip Johnson's Glass House in New Canaan, which I really enjoy. One of the real treats and pleasures, as you know, with your board work and support, is being able to go over there on a Sunday in the height of our beautiful foliage and walk through the house and all of the buildings and the property. And it was really, really special. And those are the, you know, pinch yourself moments of how great it is.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
So this year, 2022, is sort of a a watershed year for a lot of businesses. Your business is going to be, is 30 years
30
old.
30 on May 1.
My magazine celebrated its 30th birthday. It's a funny year. And yet we're getting more excited about the future, which is so nice to feel. What are the three biggest things that you've learned in 30 years in public relations? And how has PR changed?
I like to say how it hasn't changed. It's interesting. I'm in the process of writing an essay for one of our industry magazines about this. It has certainly changed an enormous amount. And if you haven't embraced digital work and all of the things that you can do to reach people now, you won't be in business. You just can't. I remember a few years ago when people would say, well, I don't do email, or I don't have a phone. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, now
I mean, that's just silly to say something like that. I mean, you better be a master at TikTok and Reels and then all of the other, newer forms of communication. So I think that's part of every single plan that we do. And in some cases, it's all that we do. Because so much has changed in print and the traditional ways of communicating, we do have some clients and plans that are, you know, 3/4 or, 100% about entirely digital. There are clients that absolutely need the bespoke hand touch that we've always done. And I personally believe that part of it will never go away. I think how people behave is hugely important. I think nuance in the way you can read people can really tell you a lot about how people can connect to something, to a brand. And I think that piece is something that we're very good at and that nobody could ever discount. You have to still be, even in these times where I think people may have become more cautious, you must still be willing to take a risk. But you also have to know, I think that is what affords all of us who have been perfecting their crafts for many, many years. There are certain things that you just know what the outcome will be. And you're smiling, Martha, and I'm smiling, and we know we're right about that. And you have to, make the right decisions on that. And they're about business. They're about people. They're not always about news, but they're often about news. I think one thing I'm pretty good at is understanding a news cycle and knowing when something is absolutely going to blow up. I'm still amazed at how, I guess I have a very good antenna for that, where some people, I'm like, are you kidding me? You have got to shut that down over there in order to do this over here. Or, I think there are times where you have to sit back and wait and be patient.
So how would you describe the team that you have working with you now at the company with the team that you had when, let's say, in the first 5 years? I think it's drastically different.
Yes. I think a lot of that has to do with the business, the industry changing. I think the commonality is the commitment. One of my favorite things is to go back and look at, you remember Michael Donoff and Alan, and in the early days, everybody had to do a memo for me of what they did that day. And these are delicious to read. And amazingly—
Did you keep them?
Oh, you bet. I'm the daughter of an attorney. I don't get rid of anything. And every now and then I'll pull them out and I'll write to Michael, or I'll call Alan into my office, or I'll go into her office. And we just look at each other and say, can you believe this? Can you believe how deeply indebted we were? And we actually had the time to write everything down, but we weren't dealing with computers all day. We were talking to each other, and the phone sheets.
And you weren't doing social media and looking at Reels and looking at TikToks.
But you're on the phone, and I look at my phone sheet, often 5-6 pages long, 25 calls a sheet. Can you imagine that? And cell phones were just getting started. But so I think that it really is about, we have a larger senior team now. Obviously, the agency is bigger. And I think we have more of a variety of expertise, where you've got people, we have people that are expert in food, expert in wine, expert in travel, expert in digital. But everybody's got to be expert in digital. Yes. That's not an option anymore. You don't separate that.
So
it's integrated.
What top piece of advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneurial person today? Because those are the kinds of people I think gravitate towards your kind of company. Mm-hmm. What's the advice?
I think you have to always be willing to work hard. I mean, I think back of probably the first year or so, really 3 hours a night of sleep, you know, going through every single media list myself and really knowing everything I was doing. That's hard to do, and it's impossible to scale, and you will burn out if you do that because there's too much to be on top of now. I think that the hard work piece is what remains. You have to have trust in other people. You have to be able to rely on other people to help you. So I think you have to find people to work with that have that, you share the common vision and the work ethic. I think, you know, you have to be willing to be patient. I know I'm going back to some of the same things, but I meet people, and sometimes we'll have people call us, and I think, you don't need PR. You know, you need a CFO, you need some product, or you need a better idea. I'm always amazed, and maybe it's great for my industry for everybody to think, oh yeah, now we need good PR. But in fact, you need to take a step back and realize, well, you know, what are you doing? Why should I care? And where are you going to go with it? And I think also when you have the great idea, and you know this because you've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs, they have to know when they have to bring the right people in. And we've certainly seen that with a lot of these tech founders and IPOs and SPACs that were just incredible. But, you know, they imploded because they just, there was no management team. There was nobody to do what they didn't know how to do.
Yes, those COOs and those CFOs.
Yes. Watching, we've known a few of them.
Which are watching.
And you and I are still here, Martha.
Indeed. Well, to learn more about Susan Magrino, Magrino PR Agency, visit the website for her agency, magrinopr.com. And to see the wonderful clothing and to keep up with all that she does, follow her on Instagram at SusanMagrino7. Susan, thank you so much for coming by and wearing the shirt that I gave to you, because we went shopping one day and we all fell in love with this same shirt. And Terry Blair also, when she comes on the podcast, I'm going to ask her to wear hers too. And so we'll have
Alex Vinash.
Yep, we're going to have to take a photograph of us with this beautiful denim with the big bow.
And shoulder pads, yes. Which I love.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to talk to you, a lot of fun to go down memory lane. But what's really great about Susan Magrino, and I think about Martha Stewart, is that we're not living in memory lane. We are going forward.
It's all about the next.
It is.
We're only getting started, Martha.
That's right.
Only getting started.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for everything that you have done for me.
And have a very nice Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.